We're going to continue in Hebrews. We are on the 4th of July weekend, and as always on 4th of July, there's a lot of talk about the freedom that we have in America. And although we do enjoy a level of freedom that is beyond most nations, if not all nations, we as Christians, we possess a better freedom. Freedom as a result of our faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to be looking at a passage here about Abraham. And this was a guy that had a lot of freedom. He was wealthy and successful and chose to give it all up and follow God for a greater and better freedom that only God could provide. And we're going to look at that today. And that's why the title is Faith Leads to a Better Freedom. In our text, Hebrews 11:8-10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went out to a place he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And so here we have an account of Abraham. We're going through the great faith chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, and we've looked at Abel and Enoch and Noah. And those were three giants of our faith, really, pre-flood. And now we're moving, the writer of Hebrews is moving in a very definite order, and now we come to Abraham after the flood, and we have this man Abraham, a giant in our faith, that we're going to look at and look at some principles. And the first principles in verse 8, and we see Abraham was called. Abraham was called. It says, by faith, Abraham was called. When he was called, obeyed, and went to a place he was going to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. And so Abraham was called out of a town called Haran. Now his father, Terah, was in Ur, the city called Ur of the Chaldeans. And that's where Abraham grew up, in this city. And at some point, it doesn't really tell us where, in Hebrews Genesis chapter 11, towards the end, it says, Terah took his family and went, and he was supposed to go to Canaan, but for some reason he stops in this town called Haran. And they stay there till Terah dies. And then Terah does die, Abraham's father, and then God calls Abraham out of Haran. And here's Abraham who had everything. And it tells us in Genesis chapter 11, says that Abraham had great wealth. He had slaves, okay, which was a sign of wealth back then. And he also had many possessions. And he had a family, had his wife with him. He had his nephew with him. And then I imagine there was others, relatives around. But God said, leave everything and go to a place where I'm going to show you. And here's the thing. He was 75 years old. He had it all. And then God stepped in. And we see a picture of Abraham's faith. First of all, we see his faith was immediate. And I'm going to show you scripture. Genesis 12:1 and the beginning of verse 4. The Lord said to Abram, go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. That's verse 1. And then the very first part of verse 4 says, so Abraham went as the Lord had told him. His faith was immediate. His faith was immediate. God spoke, Abraham went. And I have a question for you. How's your faith? Is it immediate? When God lays something on your heart, do you act on it? Abraham got up, gathered his stuff, and said, okay, let's go. And we see this a lot in the life of Abraham and in other of God's people throughout the Word of God. But we have to apply it to our lives. where we stand, where we are, how God is wanting to use us. When God moves and said, hey, this needs to be done, or I'm picking you to do this or that, is our faith immediate? Do we have faith? Because as we see also, his faith was immense. His faith was immense. You know, God didn't call Abraham to the side and say, okay, Abraham, come over here. And God didn't pull out this map of Persia and the land of the Middle East there and say, okay, you see, you're here, Abraham, and I'm going to send you over here, and it's going to take you 20 days to get there, or whatever, and this is where you're going to be. No. Can you imagine if somebody walked up to you and just said, hey, I want you to start going west and just go until I tell you otherwise. Gather up all your stuff, sell your house, gather up all your stuff, and just go. But I'm not going to tell you how long it's going to take you to get there. I'm not going to tell you where you're going to end up. I'm not going to tell you anything other than I'll tell you where to stop. Would you go? I mean, there's some serious faith involved in this. Because first of all, you got to believe that you're in touch with God. And this is real. And this is not some, like, crazy chase out into the tundra somewhere. This is really what God wants you to do. Because, you know, the Bible says his word is a lamp unto our feet. And they had these lamps back then that it was on like a rod, and it was down low. And all you could see at night was the next step. And you know, sometimes God takes you there. Sometimes God takes you and says, oh yeah, I can see, you know, you're going to be here, and you can see where you're going to be for a while. But other times you don't know what the next step, and you have that lamp into your feet, and you just take the next step and you trust God for what's beyond that. You can't see beyond that. You just do what's right and trust God for the result. And God comes to Abraham and says, go, and I'll let you know when you are to stop. That's huge. You know, and it's kind of like this event. One of the things when we were preparing for the event that the guy was impressing on, and one of the men there said, don't miss the miracles along the way. You know, yeah, the event was great, but those of us that were on that planning board, and we were, it was a total miracle how this thing even came about. And you can look at the event and say that was great, and it was a great miracle. But there was a ton of miracles leading up to it. There was a ton of stuff going on. And we had to have faith that it was going to work. And there were people that were saying, this will never happen. You'll never get to do this. You'll never get all that done. You don't have enough time. And you know what? Yeah, maybe humanly speaking, that might have been true. But with God, all things are possible, aren't they? And if God's in it, it's going to happen. And so I don't know where you're at. You might be in a dark place right now, and you may not see the next step. But listen, if God's in it, you're right where you're supposed to be. Whether you can see further or not, you're right where you're supposed to be. And you're in his care. And we'll get to that towards the end. Hopefully we'll get to the end. It's a hint. I got a lot to say today. Let's go to the next one. We may never get there. But, you know, Abraham went not knowing the destination, and he didn't have a map. Are we going also where God's pointing us? That's a question for us. But what we see is Abraham was called, but he was also committed to that calling. Next part on your outline, Abraham stayed in the desert. Okay, by faith, it says. You know, he went out not knowing where he's going to go. But when he got there, by faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. He stayed in the desert. Abraham never went back. Now, was the city of Haran familiar to him? Yes. He was there a long time. And he had all of his stuff there. He was very familiar with it. But when God called him out, He never went back. He what was behind stayed behind. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you are going back? You got a past. And you know what? Everybody here has one. We all got a past. We got things, good and bad, in our past. You know, Haran was not necessarily bad. What makes it wrong is the fact that God told him to go here. For other people, it was right for them to stay where they were. But for Abraham, he had to go where God called him. And you know, we got to be careful because we tend to look back. You know, why are oldies so popular? Everybody, you listen to them and you go, wow, I remember that. Everything was so simple and good. And you know, and I know we got some younger people here. Your oldies, you know, are not old. But our oldies are old, okay? And you don't even have oldies, some of you. So, you know, it's just currentlies, I guess. But all that to say, we look back and we go, wow, you know, we remember. You know, it was so cool back then. And da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, I'd like to go back. You can't go back. You know, Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind me, I press forward. I press on. And we can't look back. Because you know what? We know what I find out every time I go back to where I grew up. I go back and I have fond memories of where I lived in Florida and the things that I did. But you can't go back. You go back, everything's different. It's not the same place. The same people aren't there. You know, it's only there in my mind, in my memory. It's not really there. I can't go back. I go back for visits. I go back to see my folks, you know, and things like that. But I can't go back. I'm where God called me. You need to be where God called you. Or you need to be on your way to where He's calling you. Depending on where you're at and what step of your walk with God you're in. But He stayed. Now, did He make some bad moves along the way? Yes, He did. And if you've studied Abraham, you know that he did some things that weren't right. But you know what? He stayed with it. He stayed with it. Do we stay with it? Now see, there's a child that can stay with it. I predict great things for that child. You know, when I do parenting, do you realize, this is an aside, but it just popped in my head, so you're going to get it. Every parent thinks they have strong-willed children, you know. But I've got a strong-willed child. Yes, you do. They all are. Okay? They all are. Just some of them are more blatant than others, you know. Some of them just do it in your face. Others just go behind your back and do it. But they all do it. Okay? But you know what? That is actually a good trait. Because if you can get them going in the right way, and that's your job as a parent, that strong will comes in handy when other influences come and try and take them off. If they got a strong will and you got that will going this way with God, it's good to have a strong will then, isn't it? Yeah. Amen. It's just up to us as parents to kind of mold it. That was free. That's my parenting tip for the day. But, you know, don't complain about your strong-willed child. Use that will to your advantage and to God's advantage. And ultimately, it will be for the child's advantage. Okay? All right, that was my editorial. So he stayed. He stayed with it. He didn't go back. And I encourage you, don't go back. Don't give in to the temptation to go back to wherever it was you were. You know, that was a lot of what was preached in the message last night at the event. And believe me, there was preaching, and it was the plan of salvation, and people came forward. And so, you know, it was done. But there's people there that are in bondage. You know, this is about freedom. There's people that are in bondage. And I'm telling you, if you're here today and you got some kind of bondage, whether it be a physical bondage, a health bondage, or a psychological bondage, or what, I don't know, there's tons of different kinds of bondages. Christ can set you free. You're free in Christ, regardless of what's going on around you. There's freedom available. And it's found in Jesus Christ. He stayed in the desert. He sojourned in a tent. It says, by faith, he stayed in the land of promise as a foreigner. And by the way, do you realize where you live right now? You are a foreigner. Well, wait a minute. I was born in Phelan, grew up in Phelan. I'm going to die in Phelan. Okay? You may be that way. But you are a foreigner if you're a Christian. Your home is not here. Your home's in heaven. Your home's with God. Okay? We are foreigners. And when you become a Christian, that's when you really find out just how foreign this world is. Because it's stacked against us. Even our own flesh is against us, for crying out loud. So, remember that. We're foreigners, and Abraham sojourned in a tent. That is so significant. He didn't build a house. Think about it. When you like if you're renting, a lot of times you're renting because you think you're going to move. Sometimes you rent because that's all you can afford. I get that. But when you know that's where you're going to live, as far as you know, you buy. And you say, you know, I'm going to be here for a while. I'm putting down some roots. I'm establishing myself. Abraham lived in a tent. And it's a picture of the Christian life. Because we're just sojourning here on planet Earth. Our permanent residence is beyond with God. And we got to start looking at life that way, folks. Because all that stuff you're working for, it's going to belong to someone else one day. Just remember that. It's going to belong to someone else one day. The only thing you're going to take with you to heaven, there's only one thing you can take with you to heaven. Other people. Other people. You share the Word of God, the truth of God's salvation through Jesus Christ with other people. And you know what? If they accept Christ their Savior, they go to heaven with you. That's it. Everything else you leave behind. And we're sojourners in this place, just like Abraham was. I got a verse. So we do not focus on what is seen. You know, all this stuff we see. But we focus on what is unseen. Because what we see, what is seen, is temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. 2 Corinthians. Listen, soul is eternal. Spirit is eternal. People don't die and cease to exist. Everybody here lives forever. The question is, do you live in heaven with God or do you live in hell with Satan? I mean, that's the choice. I mean, that's just you're cutting it right to the basic bottom thing. That's the choice. And so we got to be not focusing on what we see. We got to focus on the spiritual. As an individual, as a church, we focus on the unseen, the spiritual world. What do you focus on? The temporary or the eternal? And you know, let's face it, we live in the material world and we have material bodies. So obviously our focus goes there a lot. I mean, it's just, we can't help it. But we got to keep balance there, folks. I mean, we are supposed to take care of our body. We are supposed to take care of one another and see to needs, the physical needs. I mean, we did some help with physical needs last night. But the whole purpose of the thing was to, yes, and praise God for those that did come forward and accept the Lord. And I hopefully when we follow up, you know, we'll get them plugged in. We got their information. We're going to try and plug them into one of the churches, you know, wherever. And hopefully that's true. But you know what? There was a ton of seed planting yesterday that took place. There was a ton of people that just heard things maybe they never heard before. Or maybe they got a glimmer of hope that they never had before. And you know what? And God will grow that. It's up to Him to do that. We plant. You know, like when you plant a seed, you're kind of done. If you ever planted anything. I mean, yeah, you can water it, but you're not making it grow. It just kind of does it. And that's what God does within people. There's a seed planted, a seed of His Word, or the seed of a kind word from someone, or a help of some nature that spoke to their heart. And God will take that and make it into something. But we got to focus on what we can't see. Because all this other stuff we see is temporary. Abraham sojourned in a tent. Why? He understood it was temporary. Third part of that verse, Abraham stood. He stayed in the desert, he sojourned in a tent, and he stood on God's promise. He was sure of God. You know, there's a lot of things in this world that we get a hold of, and we're like, man, I'm not so sure that's going to work or whatever. But you can be sure of one thing, and that is of the Lord. He is true. He doesn't make mistakes. He's God. Look at these verses. The Lord said to Abraham, know this for certain, your offspring. Now, how many kids did Abraham have? None at this point. Okay? None. And plus, he's old. You know? And his wife's old. And look what God says to him. Know this for certain. For certain. Your offspring will be foreigners in a land that does not belong to them. They will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. He's talking about his descendants living in Egypt, slaving for the Egyptians. God is saying, this is going to happen. However, I love however when God's involved. I mean, if I just ended it there, that'd be depressing. Okay? But no. However, I will judge that nation they serve. And he did, didn't he? Wiped them out. Wiped out their army. And afterward, they, meaning your children, Abraham, you're going to go out with many possessions. You know, what did Pharaoh say? Take anything you want, just get out of here. And they did. They took tons of stuff, and they left. And it says, but you, Abraham, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a ripe old age. In the fourth generation, they will return here. Here where? Promised land. Promised land. In the fourth generation, they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure, which that's just the end of the verse. I'm not going to talk about that part. But the fourth generation, because you see, you had Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, okay? And he's talking about, and he said, he was sojourning in the tents with Isaac and Jacob, okay? So, after that, there's going to be four generations. You know what you have? You have Levi, which was a son of Jacob, right? That's the first generation. You have Levi. He was one of the tribes. It was the tribe that was set apart for God's service in the temple and all that. Levi had Kohath. Kohath had Amram. That's three. And Amram had Moses. Fourth generation, Moses. And Moses takes them out of Egypt. God. Now of course, Abraham, he didn't have that map. He didn't even have a child yet. But it's told. Fourth generation. Abraham stood on God's promise. He believed. And the Bible says it was accounted to him as righteousness, his faith. It's the same faith we have. When we believe God about his son, we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Same faith. Abraham had faith in God. He just didn't know Jesus' name. But he knew there was a Messiah coming. His faith was there. He knew it was going to come through his seed one day. That was his faith. He believed in the future of Jesus. We look back at the past, Jesus. Same faith, same salvation. Abraham was sure of God. Let me ask you a question. Are you sure of God? Are you sure of God? When God, remember, we talked about being called and not having a road map and... Are you sure? When you read these promises in this word, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says it's going to be all right, are you sure? Because that's faith, folks. That's faith. Are we sure of God? Abraham was committed to God. Okay, so he was called, he was committed, he was convinced. He was convinced. Verse 10. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham was looking forward. And that phrase, looking forward, you know what that's, it's not like, well, I'm looking forward to when I can retire and, you know, live the good life or, you know, whatever. You know, whatever your vision is, I'm looking forward to that. No, this is eager expectation. Abraham expected God eagerly. He expected him to do something eagerly. It's like, I'm really looking forward to this. That's what it's talking about here. And let me ask you a question. Are you expectant? When you deal with God, when you pray, when you read His Word and you read a promise, or the Spirit lays something on your heart that God's telling you something, do you expect it or do you kind of have doubts? I mean, when you pray, do you expect God to answer? Or is it kind of like, well, I'm going to pray because I know I'm supposed to, but God's going to do whatever He wants anyway. Well, if God's going to do whatever He wants anyway, then why pray? Do you understand that you can affect God? I mean, Abraham himself, remember when God came to Abraham? God manifested Himself in the form of a man, and that's, we know who that is, that's Jesus. And He brought two angels with Him, and He goes to Abraham and He says, you see that city, Sodom down there? It's toast. Their wickedness is before me, and I'm wiping it out. And Abraham goes, oh, hey, if I can find 50 people, will you destroy your own people if I find 50 people? God says, no. If you find 50 people, and He gets them all the way down to 10. And God rolled with it. And if Abraham could have found 10 people, God would not have toasted Sodom. I mean, our prayers affect God. God told Moses, He says, I'm going to wipe out all these people. And Moses said, don't do it, you know, take me instead or whatever. And God relented on the prayer of Moses. God said, okay, I won't destroy them. I ought to, but I won't. I mean, and you find it through the Scriptures, we can affect God. Now, God knows that you're going to pray. I mean, I'm not going to get into the argument, you know, or the discussion that, well, God knew, because God does know. He's God, okay? But the point is, we don't know. We don't know. So that's why we ask. Because who knows what God will do? We don't know. That's why we ask. You know, well, if God knows who's going to get saved, then why witness to Him? Because you don't know who's going to get saved. And God may be wanting to use you to do it. So that's why we do what we're told. But are we expectant? When God challenges you in your life to go and do something that's like out of your comfort zone, do you eagerly expect, hey, if God is going to make me do this, wow, there's something good's going to happen? Or are we kind of afraid? Are we kind of afraid? And maybe we think, oh, wow, that's going to cost me something. What's God going to take from me in order to do this? Or are we eagerly expectant of what God's going to do through our obedience? Abraham was looking, he was convinced and he was looking forward. And he was also looking for God's foundations. The city he was looking for was built by God. He was looking past the material and into the spiritual. Let me ask you a question. Are you looking for something built by you or built by God? Now, are you building your little kingdom? I know I spent time building my kingdom. hey, if I can get this house, you know, get this stuff, I'm going to be happy and blah, blah, blah. You know, that was my vision of a kingdom at one time was, you know, I didn't use those terms, but that's what I was doing. If my situation or that or this, if I can get through this, it's all going to be good. No, we got to look for God's foundations. What God is building. And where God's building, then we need to build with Him, wherever that is. What's God doing? And Abraham was convinced God was going to do something. And all it was him and his wife and his nephew and all those people that was with him in his group there. In the middle of a land where God says, this is your land. And yet, you know, do you understand? Did you ever stop to think about God said, I'm giving you all this land, and it's huge. It was like from Egypt all the way to basically where Ur is now, or Damascus, or Persia. It was all this land. Do you understand that the only thing Abraham ever actually owned in that land was his burial cave? That's all he ever actually had title to. He bought a cave and a little field in front of it, and that's where he was buried, and his wife was buried, and a couple others were buried there in his family as well. That's all he ever really owned. And yet God said, I'm giving you all this, the promised land. It's all yours. And he never actually possessed it, aside from this little plot that he bought. He was looking ahead. He was looking beyond his life. And we got to understand that we are affecting things that will go on beyond our life. Are you convinced of that? Abraham was. This is Jesus speaking in John chapter 8. As he, Jesus, was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, we like to quote that last part of that verse, but there's a contingency there. If you continue in my word. If you continue, if you don't look back, if you don't give up, if you remain steadfast, if you keep looking forward, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth. The truth will set you free. Now we're going to get a picture of who he was talking to. They answered. Excuse me. They answered. We are descendants of Abraham. See, who do they call? Hey, I'm down. Our ancestors are Abraham, they answered him. And this is, look at the blindness. And we have never been enslaved to anyone. Now, these are Jews in Rome. They're in Palestine, but Rome owns them. They are slaves to Rome as they speak. And then go back before that. Kind of remember this cat named Nebuchadnezzar? Did he not level their city and take them all captive for 70 years or whatever it was? Did he not do that? I mean, and weren't they possessed by the Assyrians and all these? And yet they're standing there saying, we've never been enslaved to anyone. They really believe that. Just like the people we talk to. The ones that have never accepted Christ as their Savior. They think they're free. They think they're doing what they want. They think they're okay. And you know, that was the point I was trying to get across to the board. That I don't think ever really got across. Because And even in the preaching yesterday, and I'm not being critical of that, I just think they left out something. And it was, he was talking about there's people that are alcoholics and they have a form of slavery. That's true. Or people that, you know, are drug addicts or they've got, you know, different things. And there's a lot of addictions out there. And they're saying, we want to free you from those addictions. But one of the things that I brought up, and I said, look, there's a lot of people out here in our lives, in this community, in this world, that are comfortable. They're not addicts. They're not in bondage to stuff like we would be thinking. And hey, do we need to address those addictions and bondages? Yes, we do. But you know, there's a lot of people that are just comfortable. They just think they're okay. Hey, I'm a good person. I don't do drugs. I don't beat my wife. I don't, you know, I go to church once a week. And I'm a good person. I've never killed anybody. I'm just, you know, my kids are growing up. They're good kids. And I said, you know, we need to pray that the people that are comfortable would become uncomfortable. And that they would see their sin. Because look at this. So Jesus responds to this. They're like, hey, we've never been a slave. See, these people think they're okay. Hey, I don't need a Savior. I'm comfortable. It's all good. And Jesus says, I assure you. Now you either believe this or you don't. Everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not remain in the household forever. You know, sooner or later, slaves die. Sooner or later, slaves leave. You know, they get sold or whatever. But a son does remain forever. Isn't it great? Because see, every one of us, the Bible teaches us that before you have Christ in your life, you are a slave to sin. You can't help but screw up. You can't help it. You're a slave to it. Oh, you can do some things right, and you may not commit every sin, but you're a slave to your sin. But when you ask Jesus to forgive you, when you tell God, hey, I am a sinner, I need forgiveness, would you please save me? Would you please? And you know what God does? He adopts you into His family and He makes you a son. And a son remains forever. You know, Ruth doesn't want to be a mom forever. Expanding the family forever. Okay? But those children of yours, they're yours forever. Our children, those of us that have children, they're ours forever. They never cease being our sons and daughters. They're ours forever. And when you are set free by God, you are free from your sin. Now that doesn't mean you're perfect, but you're free from your sin. You don't have to sin anymore. You can choose. You have the power. The Holy Spirit can set you free from sin. In the here and now. Not when you die and go to heaven. In the here and now. Therefore, he says, if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. Because, see, freedom has nothing to do with what country you're living in or the government or true freedom has nothing to do with what's going on in your body or those kind of things. If the Son sets you free, I like the way King James puts it. You're free indeed. You're free indeed. And those are verses John 8:30-36. I had Dave read a portion of it. Because you see, in the end, faith in Jesus is what frees you. That's what frees you. You may never be free of the problems going on in your life or your body or in your mind or, you know, what. You may never be free from that. But you know what? Your spirit can be free. Your soul can be free. He was preaching freedom. Jesus was preaching freedom to a society that was totally enslaved by Rome. And that's why when Paul was in chains with Silas, they were just singing praises to God. Because they were free. Even though they were in chains, they were free. And you know what? Whatever your chains are, and we all got them, we all got stuff, holding us back, but you're free if you're a child of God. You need to understand that. Start claiming it. Start living like it. Start thinking like it. And start acting like it. In the end, it's faith in Jesus that frees you. Faith in God's ways and plans for your life is the ultimate freedom. What's His plan for you? What's going on in your life? Faith in what He's doing in your life, that's the ultimate freedom. Faith in God frees us to worship and serve Him regardless of situations and circumstances. You know, it was always something. I remember when I was living in that materialistic mindset. Well, when I get this, and I'd work for that, and when I get that, and I'd work, you know, it was always something. Then I will be whatever I thought I was going to be. But the truth is, we're free right in the middle of all that because of what Jesus Christ did in our heart and in our life. We're free in the middle of that, in the middle of your pain and suffering, in the middle of those situations in your life, the adverse things that are going on. It could be with the law or whatever. In the middle of all that, you are free. Perhaps Spurgeon said it best, the great preacher. God, listen, these are profound words. God is too wise to be mistaken. Sometimes we think, God made a mistake. You know, why am I going through this? God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, is there ever a time when you didn't understand? There's a bunch of times, okay? When you don't understand and you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, you know, when you can't see where He's been, trust His heart. Trust God's heart. God is good, isn't He? And then everybody will say all the time, oh, really? In the midst of what you're going through, is He still good? Really? Well, He is. If you don't think so, that doesn't change the fact that He is. But are you trusting Him in the midst of that? You know, when you can't get it, when you can't see it, when you can't trace it, just trust Him. That's just trust Him. That what He's, you know, He doesn't bring all this stuff on us. Sometimes we bring it on ourselves. And sometimes we didn't even bring it on ourselves. Sometimes it's just the fact that we live in a sin-fallen world, and so there is things that happen. There are things that happen, and there's diseases, and there's stuff. All those things God did not want, but sin brought it all here, and we live in this place. Okay, and so we put up with these things. But God does not bring everything that's gone on in your life. God did not bring it. Okay? Sometimes it's just reaping and sowing. God said what? Whatever you reap, whatever you sow, that's what you'll reap. You make a bad decision, you're going to reap a consequence. It's probably bad. Make a good decision, you reap a consequence, probably good. So a lot of it's up to us. A lot of it is just life. But He will take those things in your life and use them to conform you to the image of His Son, to grow you in maturity and faith in Him. And He will use it for His best purpose for you. And so when you can't see the reasoning and you don't have the understanding, will you just trust God's heart? Because we all like to say those good things about God. You know, oh, He's loving, He's kind, He's merciful. And that's not to ignore His justice and His holiness. But He is loving and kind and merciful. And He does have a plan for your life. Will you trust Him with it? And understand that those things you'd rather not be there, He wants to use them in your life in some way to make you more like Jesus and to also impact the kingdom of God. trust Him. And sometimes I know for some of you, it's been really hard. Some of you are going through some real, real heartache and pain. But I call on you to trust Him. Trust Him. He's good. He's God. And you're going to be with Him forever. Trust Him. Because He's all those things we said, but you know what? He's also trustworthy. And He's faithful to you. Even when we let go, He holds on to us. Trust Him. Have you trusted God? If not, you're not free. You're not free. Instead, you're a slave to sin and your own nature. If there's someone here today that you have never asked, if you've never admitted to God that you are a slave to sin, that you are a sinner, if you've never admitted to Him, and you've never asked Him to forgive you, and you've never asked Him to come into your heart and save you, you need to do so. Because that's the ultimate freedom. That's the freedom God promised. For others of us, have you been called and you've kind of hesitated? Is your commitment level what it ought to be? Are you convinced that God's going to do something? Are you eagerly looking forward with expectant eyes and heart to what God's going to do in your life? You can have every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to give an invitation. Is there anybody here today? Anybody here today? You don't have freedom. God has spoken to you and said, you need to commit your life to me. This is God speaking. You need to commit your life to God. You need to ask for forgiveness. He will freely forgive. You can believe that. Is there anybody here today? I have just realized I've never done that. I've never asked Him to forgive me. I've never admitted my need of Him because I'm a sinner. I've never asked Him to take over my life, just to possess me as a father possesses his child. Anybody like that? I've never done it. You slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want you to come to know the truth that will set you free. Anybody like that? Okay, as far as I know, everyone here, you've done that. I hope that's true. For the rest of us, is there anybody here that would say, you know, God has called me and I know He's laid something on my heart, but I've just had some fear and I just haven't stepped forward in that calling? Anybody like that? I see that hand. Amen. I see that hand. Oh, several hands. Amen. Listen, you're not alone. I've gone down that road. I've resisted God's call in the past. There's nothing better than following. Just have a little faith and go forward with it. Whatever He's laid on your heart, just go forward with it. Small steps at a time and let Him reveal His will to you as you go. I encourage you. How many would say, yeah, I've kind of been called and kind of, you know, gone with the calling, but I haven't been as committed as I should be. Anybody like that? My commitment level, amen. God bless you. Amen. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. Amen. You know, God wants us to be committed. Amen. Thank you. I see that hand. God bless you. More importantly, you know, God sees these hands and God knows your heart. Amen. God bless you. How many would say, Brother Mike, I've been kind of committed. I've been called. I've been committed, but you know, I've just been a little bit weak because I just haven't been convinced. I just kind of have some doubts. I mean, I'm doing the right thing and I'm pursuing it, but I've had some doubts. And I God just laid on my heart, I need to be strengthened. I just need to be strengthened. Anybody like that? Just been having some weak times. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. Amen. God bless you. Been a little weak. Just been kind of struggling. How many would say, I haven't been as expectant upon God? I mean, I serve Him, but I kind of serve Him not really expecting Him to do anything or to do as much as He does. Anybody like that? I've just been kind of serving Him and kind of hoping things would work out. Anybody like that? Anybody? All right. Amen. How many would say, I kind of focus more on the temporary than I do the eternal? Anybody like that? Just being, yeah, amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. How many would say, I've been focusing a little too much on the material rather than spiritual? How many would say that? Amen. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, ton of stuff here, Lord. You've spoken to a lot of people on a lot of different subjects, a lot of different levels. Lord God, I pray. I pray for these that raise their hands. I pray for these that maybe they didn't raise their hand, but they've been communicating with you in their heart, Lord, and in their mind, acknowledging some of these things. Father God, I pray you would encourage them, strengthen them. Lord, give them the resolve, empowerment from your Spirit that they would go forward in your will and accomplish your purposes for them, with you working through them. Lord God, I pray you'd touch the hearts and minds of all of us, Lord, that we would serve you in a greater way. I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your time as Kathy plays. God's laid something on your heart. You may need to ask Him to forgive you. You may need to just maybe reconfirm something that you know you're supposed to do. Now you made up your mind you're going to do it. Whatever it is, this is the time. You deal with God. God, we come before you, ever mindful of your presence among us, ever mindful of your purposes for us, ever mindful of your sacrifice, the sacrifice of your Son on our behalf. Lord God, you were faithful and you are faithful. Help us to be faithful, Lord, that we would truly enjoy the freedom that you intended for us. And as a result, Lord, that your kingdom would grow, that you would be glorified, and that we would be the profitable servant you called us to be. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.